Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You are listening to the Glory Hunters podcast with me, Charlie Baker. This week, it's Scotland versus the Republic of Ireland with Jacob Hawley and Wendy Wason representing Scotland. Wendy, you are, of course. Where were you born in Scotland, Wendy?
Durban, South Africa.
Oh, great stuff. Great news. So really, really feel it there, really.
But my family are Scottish and I grew up in Scotland.
And you got the voice for
and
free.
And I've got the voice for free,
So that's nice. Can you do your best South African accent for us?
Just... Nope, I'm not going there.
All right, okay. Jacob Hawley, have you ever been to South Africa?
Never been to South Africa. Born in Stevenage. Been to Scotland a couple of times, but I do like drinking, so I think we're...
Why don't you support Stevenage?
Because they're not as good as Arsenal. It's the simple answer.
If I could, I'd take points off, but I can't. Republic of Ireland, of course, Andrew Ryan, born and bred in Pretoria. I'm sure I'm just about to find out.
born and raised in Cork in Ireland, the home of Roy Keane and Dennis Irwin. John O'Shea is from Waterford. Liam Miller as well, God rest him. Great county, producing some great footballers.
And of course, the as Irish as they come, Perry Groves next to you. Ever been to Ireland, Perry?
I have. I've frequented Temple Bar. And anybody who tells you Guinness doesn't taste differently in Ireland than what it does in England, they're lying.
That's why.
Because I'm not a Guinness drinker.
That's why you pay the extra.
And it has the world's best museum.
Oh,
the Guinness Museum.
The Guinness Museum, of course.
I've never been.
Floor two, you get the proper Irish bands in there. I was in there for 3.5 hours. Same act every 25 minutes. It was magnificent. And then floor five is the glass top floor where you go and have a little pint of Guinness.
If you drink enough, it's new acts every 25 minutes, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And they change their routines as well, so that's pretty cool.
Are you sponsored by the Dublin Tourist Board today?
Oh, I love Dublin.
You're listening to Museums with Perry Groves. Here it is, the Glory Hunters podcast. Hello, I'm Charlie Baker, and welcome to Glory Hunters, the show that ignites the fuse of football fandom. Our guests are given the opportunity to represent the team they've always supported in a contest where the winner takes it all. But who will be the super trooper and who will send out an SOS? It's up for grabs now on Glory Hunters. This week's fixture is an international special as Ireland take on Scotland. Andrew Ryan is representing Ireland alongside team captain Perry Groves. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, Charlie. How is it going?
And on the team sheet for Scotland is Wendy Wason, who's with team captain Jacob Hawley. Hello, you two.
Hello.
Afternoon, Charlie. Are we all right?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Now, Perry, is this true? You could have played for the Republic of Ireland.
Yeah, I could. In the Jack Charlton days, we were just looking for any, like, Cass played, didn't he? So I was just looking. I think they found out that I had an Irish red setter when I was a kid. So I thought, right, he can play. And this is honestly true story. Played against Newcastle at home at Highbury. And Noel Quinn was in the Republic of Ireland squad. And Theo Foley, who was our assistant coach, he was from Republic of Ireland. So they'd put it forward that my granddad was born in County Cork. And I've never been to Ireland at all, right? So that got through. So I played against Newcastle. In the old days at Highbury, the players' tunnel used to come down the concrete steps to go home. The players' bar was halfway between the pitch and the dressing rooms. So they said, Jack Charlton, after the game, wants to have a word with you. So I went, all right, no problem. So I go in and go into the players' bar. And let's just say he probably enjoyed the pre- and post-match hospitality. And he's with randomly Maurice Setters, who was his number two. So Quinny takes me up to him. He goes, Gaffer, we got something to see like that. So Jack Charlton walks over towards me. He goes, Terry, how you doing? Right, so it didn't start off that particularly well. I went, all right, Jack, how's it going? He went, yeah. He said, got a game Tuesday for the B team against Bulgaria. He said, bring your boots tomorrow, Sunday. He said, this hotel, turn up with your boots, play Tuesday night. If it goes all right, I'll put you in the full squad Wednesday, right? So I went, all right. He said, yeah, see you later, Terry. Later's like that. And I thought, that doesn't all go particularly well. He don't even know my name. And when I walked out, in my head I was thinking, surely a call up for international football has to be a little bit more official than
a letter,
what
at least.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So Quinny just went.
Bloke down the pub told me.
Yeah. So Quinny just went.
He didn't really know my name.
So Quinny went, no, that's how Jack works. Bring your boots. So I went home and I spoke to my family on the Saturday night. And I'm thinking, if I turn up just with my boots, whatever, on the Sunday, and he's forgotten because he was that out of it, he thought, it's Ginger. What's he doing over here? Like, he doesn't know I am. So I politely got the club to write back and say thanks for the offer for Perry for playing in the B team.
Yeah.
In a nice way, he thinks he's a bit better than that. Oh. Put him in the big boy squad.
Yeah.
And you might, you know, you might get him. And I'm still waiting.
Oh,
yeah. So
Perry.
Exactly, that call never came. So
Terry.
Yeah, exactly. And
what could have been? And Terry Groves for Ireland.
He was going to play me up front with a lad called John Byrne, who was playing for QPR at the time.
Yes.
And he scored twice in that game, and then he put him in the big boy squad, and John Byrne did brilliantly for Republic of Ireland. Yeah, really good. So,
Andrew, how do you think Perry could have done?
Well, the thing is, everybody has been asked to play for Ireland, right?
Oh,
so
right.
We've all got a chance in the B team. We've all played in the B team, Perry, you know what I mean? No, like, honestly, we at that time, if that's the way Jack Charlton worked, you know, like he meet you in the bar, tell you to turn up with your boots, he qualified for two World Cups using that.
You're not wrong, exactly.
You know what
yeah,
I mean? So, like, honestly, they're the good old days that we kind of want to bring back a little bit. They're the great story. Now it's all, you know, you've got to go through an agent, you know, and all this kind of stuff. Now it's just like meet up in the pub.
DNA testing and all that, yeah. Blood samples.
If you're parent.
My middle boy, who's 15, he was like, because of grandparents and where he's born in England, his mum's Scottish, his granddad's Hungarian, he's got a real mix. I think he can play for like seven or eight different countries. And I said, and of course, if you want to play football, who would you play for? Thinking, of course he's going to say Scotland because he knows who feeds him. And he said, I'd play for England. And I went, why? And he went, because I want a game. Wow.
Andrew, what's the best moment you can remember under Jack Charlton?
Oh, I think the best moment was probably David O'Leary's penalty against Romania when we got through to the quarters Italy. Because I remember it, I was in my grandmother's house and my sister had just got a tooth out. And it was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon kickoff, and I remember I'd gone to penalties, and I remember David O'Leary, who shouldn't really have taken a penalty, really.
I was watching it, right, and I was thinking, what are they doing? He'd never taken a penalty. You're like,
Paddy Bonner had saved, and next thing, David O'Leary steps up, and I was only 8 years of age, my sister was 12, she was crying in a corner. My dad was 3 months away from giving up booze. And next thing, David O'Leary scored, and all I remember is going out in my mum's old Ford Fiesta driving down the village, and everyone came out in the village, and it was a mess. And I was eight, I got candy floss and ice cream, and I was still one of the best moments ever. But David O'Leary's penalty when he scored, just to get to Rome in a World Cup in Italy. And we gave Italy a great game in the quarter final, you know?
It's in that Roddy Doyle book, isn't it, that penalty?
Yeah, yeah.
The van,
Brendan O'Carroll. Yeah. Like that was 90, that kickstarted our economy and our sort of like this new generation of, we qualified for a major tournament, you know,
beautiful.
A World Cup, first time ever.
Jacob Hawley, you're representing Scotland today, captaining Scotland today.
Captaining Scotland, yeah.
Have you any link to Scotland at all other than the Edinburgh Festival?
My granny knew someone who was a bit Scottish.
Okay, Scotland captain.
I think that makes me a seventh a bit Scottish, something like that. They might have just been a bit funny the way they spoke. But yeah, so I just about Scottish.
But you're on with someone who is more or less the Queen of Scotland.
On with Wendy.
And Wendy, you are a big Scotland fan.
Big Scotland fan.
And you have my favourite ever going to football story about going to see Scotland. Tell us it now on Glory Hunters.
Okay, it's not my finest moment. I
best
called
way to start
up
a story.
Work and said, I'm not coming in today, I'm sick. And I got a bus. I was working in a bar, and I got a Scottish bar in London, and I got a bus to Paris for the opening game of the World Cup in 98 when Scotland were playing Brazil. Yeah, we really fancied our chances. We scored an own goal against Brazil because Brazil need the help. We knew we were going to lose, but it was brilliant. It was great. And if you're a girl at an international football match, you drink for free because guys just get you drinks. It was brilliant. I had the best time of my life. Came back to London, went to work, and my boss said, you weren't sick. You went to Paris to watch the football. And I was like, how do you know that? And it was because on the front page of The Sun, with the headline, Who Won, Who Cares, was me dancing in a fountain. Wrapped around some guy I've never seen before or since. And so, and I, my boss was like, I can't even fire you because you're a legend.
Front page. I'm absolutely brilliant.
Right, brilliant. Just think today, you'd have your own reality TV show, wouldn't you? You would, you'd be a massive star.
It's enough to get you on Big Brother, yeah, that, exactly, at least, yeah, isn't it?
What Wendy did next.
Yeah, exactly. There we are. So the scene is set for an international special as the Republic of Ireland take on Scotland. To seal kickoff, we start with a clip of former Forest keeper Mark Crossley on the Under the Cosh podcast, and he's talking about Brian Clough and a ghetto blaster.
We played Wimbledon at home. They were first team to come with ghetto blaster. Anyway, ghetto blaster's going down, and you can see he's like thinking, what was that? And he's stopped and he's gone, Illy! Illy! To Ellen Hill. Would you go and knock on their dressing room door and ask them to turn that music down? So Ellen Hill goes down and he knocks on the door. And Vinnie Jones on the door, the captain of Wimbledon, and he's stood there in a pair of slips. And Alan Hill's gone, listen, Vinny, would you mind turning the music down? Our gaffer don't like it. Yeah. So Vinny's gone, yeah, no problem, no problem. So turns it down. Alan Hill comes back up to the dressing room. Of course, what happens? They turn it louder, don't they? Illy, this time, would you say, please, can you turn the music down? So he goes down and says, please, Mr. Jones, can you turn the music down?
Oh, so he's actually gone again?
Gone again. And Vinny, he's got a smirk on his face, Vinny, like, you know. So he turns it down, comes back up, starts again. So this time he gets up, knocks on the door, opens the door, Vinny. He walks in their dressing room, picks the ghetto blaster up, smashes it. Now play your music, Wimbledon.
Mark Crossley there on the absolutely brilliant Under the Cosh podcast. It's a really good podcast. If you want to hear sort of behind the scenes, behind the curtain, sort of grizzled old pro stories like Perry tells us every week. Absolutely brilliant. There we are. But here is the question. Seeing as this is an international special, can you tell me how many international appearances Vinnie Jones made for Wales? How many international appearances did Vinnie Jones make for Wales? It's sealed bids. So while both teams confer, here is a short musical interlude. OK, the sealed bids are in. And Scotland, Jacob and Wendy, you have said three appearances for Wales.
Three appearances, yeah. I can barely remember him doing that many, to be honest with you. The idea of him playing for Wales is about as legitimate as Perry playing for the Republic of Ireland.
He had a Welsh Cocker Spaniel, though.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was. It's dog based. Is that how it works?
Yes,
it's
what it is. It's just dog based. And the bigger the dog, the better player.
And Andrew and Perry for Republic of Ireland, you have said 12 appearances.
I think it's between 8 and 12.
You're right, because it is nine. Nine appearances there for Vinnie Jones for Wales, which means that Republic of Ireland, you kick us off next as both teams try and convince me that they are the biggest footballing force here today as we do this.
My club's bigger than your club. My club's bigger than your club.
We want each of our guests to tell us why they are the biggest international team here today. They're free to employ any reasoning they wish. This isn't about medals on the table. This is an exercise in winning hearts and minds. Republic of Ireland, you are going first, and your 30 seconds starts now.
We have a population, right, of 5 million people where football is actually our fourth sport, OK? So the percentage of people playing is quite low. And you ask yourself the question, how can Ireland be bigger than Scotland? Well, I'm going to ask you, this is how I decided how it was going to work, right? The amount of people, footballers, born in Scotland that chose not to play for Scotland but chose to play for Ireland over Scotland, right? We have 7 footballers. Ray Houghton, born in Glasgow, 73 caps. Aidan McGeady, born in Glasgow, 70 caps. Tommy Coyne, born in Govan, 22 caps. James McCarthy, Glasgow, 24 caps, still playing. Bernie Slevin, yeah. Bernie Slevin, born in Glasgow, was in the squad but never came on the pitch. Oh. Christy Gallagher, born in Glasgow, played for 2 caps. And the amazing Owen Coyle. played for Ireland for one cap, right? We have seven players that cross the divide from Scotland to Ireland. Why? Because Ireland is bigger than Scotland. How many players born in the Republic of Ireland decided to play for Scotland? The answer is zero. Okay. Not only that, but Scotland have qualified for 10 major tournaments, 8 World Cups and 2 Euros, with a total of 30 games. Scotland hosts the record of the only country that have qualified for the most major tournaments to this day and never got out of the group. They've played in 10 tournaments and never got out of the group stage 10 times. Ireland have played in 3 World Cups. We've always got out of the group. We've played in 3 Euros. We've got out to the last 16 once. For a small country, as football is the fourth sport, we could even bring in players from your country to play for us. And that's how we are so much bigger than you.
So that's that from the Republic of Ireland. Wendy, can you tell us why Scotland are the biggest international team here today?
Well, our population is bigger. It's only by 500,000, granted, but it is bigger. We've qualified more for the World Cup than you have.
You've qualified
for 8 World Cup. But you guys have got the record for getting the furthest in a tournament without winning a game.
Yes.
That's quite an achievement. Well done, Ireland. But more than that, Scotland is literally bigger than Ireland. You're only like 11 on the obesity index in the world.
Yeah.
We're 5. We're literally bigger than you. We're fatter, we eat better, and our diets are the classic British fattening diets. So we're literally bigger as a population than Ireland.
In Scotland's defence, 1978, before the World Cup in Argentina, they had an open-top bus tour with Ali McLeod going all around, right? Before they went. They had 30,000 at Hampden Park before they went, and then there was no one when they come back.
Do you know what they were singing? In
that's
Paris,
genius,
they were singing in Paris before the game. Everyone's sitting around getting hammered going, we're only here to Lambada, here to Lambada.
I do love the Tartan Army, I can't deny it. So I'm going to give it 2 to Scotland and 1 to the Republic of Ireland.
Young players will always get into my side on merit, whether they deserve it or not.
This is Glory Hunters, the podcast from TalkSport. Time now to incur the wrath of the sporting gods as we enter the round known as
Sporting Heretics.
I'm going to invite each member of the panel to suggest an idea they believe will change sport for the better. Previous suggestions have included a transfer window for fans, a reduction in Olympic sports, and abolishing half-time. This idea is designed to ruffle the feathers of the sporting establishment and cause a ripple of outrage amongst the powers that be. Our panel have complete carte blanche to storm the sporting barricades and launch a revolution. Andrew, we're going to start with you. And you think there should be a pay increase for footballers?
Yes, yeah. Now, if you think about it, right, football has been under a lot of pressure in the media recently, incorrectly, in my opinion, that they've been singled out. If you take 20 teams in the Premier League, and each team has, say, 25 first-team players, right? So that's only 500 professional footballers, right, in the Premier League, right?
Okay.
Of only 50% of them are even on over 100 grand anyway. So you're only looking at maybe 250 footballers are earning that's seriously top money, okay? And I think the level of risk that they have in their life to earn that money, they should be paid a little bit more,
okay,
right? Because they're one injury away from losing everything.
Yeah.
All right? The football career is only, what, 12 to 14 years, sort of like maximum, you know, with only maybe a window of 7 or 8 years maximum earning power anyway. One mistake in a match can live with them for the rest of their life. The amount of commitment they've given since the age of 5 and 6 to the fitness, true, to the discipline, to the nutrition. They can't do what normal people do. Like, they can't go to the pub now because of social media.
Yeah.
Some of them mightn't even win a trophy in their own life. They might not even taste any sort of success. The constant worry about, like, you know, every game, is this going to be my last game that they're going to play? Not only that, but they do great things after football as well. They go into coaching, helping young people, the next generation, mentoring, going off, telling stories, giving great entertainment and enjoyment to the football fans. Not only that, people complain about footballers earning a lot of money, right? But guess who pays footballers' wages? The people that buy the TV subscriptions. If you're not happy with the money they're earning, stop buying the TV subscriptions, right? So I think the way that footballers are treated is a disgrace. They give me such joy. I have lived my life. When Man United, my season ticket at Man United went up £2 a game. Oh. I went up £2 a game in 2007. I was delighted to appear because the joy I was getting every second Saturday, right? These people are phenomenal creatures. that they've got the physique that I can only dream about. I have panic attacks looking at Cocoa Pops, right? These people wouldn't even go near stuff like that. I think they should be paid more. They give great enjoyment to the world. They have high-risk jobs with serious consequences of abuse, threatening behaviour all the time from fans. And if people don't like it, don't watch it. But I think they should be given double their wage.
And your new chairman of the PFA is?
You make a lot of good points, Andrew. You really do. One thing I think you missed out was there should be some sort of reparation. And it should go back. The big nut money should go back to people who started in sort of 82, 83.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. There should be a retired has-beens.
And it comes to you in
pot.
One lump.
Yeah, just one and
just
tax-free.
Just one. Yeah,
and, tax-free. And what you haven't mentioned is, like, these poor footballers these days, like, they only get 4 weeks off now in the summer. Yeah. We used to get 10.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So they are working, you know, through, like, times when they shouldn't be working.
But also you've got to remember is these footballers now, because they've earned so much money, they're not going to be on the after dinner circuit because they don't need the money. Whereas so that the Ray Houghtons and all these guys that are going to the golf clubs and cricket clubs to do these after dinner talks, they're going to continue cleaning up that market because these rich guys don't need to go out and do it.
Well, one of the best people on that circuit is Perry Groves. He's very, very good and available at the moment, Perry.
Yeah, and I'm a lot cheaper at the moment.
You know, I sat next to on a flight up to Glasgow who was going to do an after dinner talk. Mike Tyson.
Did
he
you?
Was on an EasyJet flight to Glasgow because he was doing an after dinner speech, and I was kind of like,
"How bad are things?"
Didn't save it. Boarding.
He didn't sit with his wife and kids. He sat next
As
to
if
me.
Mike Tyson's got
Mike
any
Tyson
stories.
Sat
I've
next
got
to
a photograph of it. I made him take a. I made him hold the baby, and take a photograph of it. And my husband was coming to get me at departures, and he was like, "That looks like Wendy's talking to Mike. That can't be Mike."
Was you tattoo side or other side?
No, it wasn't me. I've just put the baby in his hand.
Oh, right.
He was like, "I can't hold your baby, man." I was like, "Yeah, you can." So I gave him the baby and took a photograph. He looks a little bit scared.
He looks scared
of the baby.
Mike Tyson on the baby. Well, it's a very good answer, and it's created a lot of discussion, Andrew, which is the point. And I'm going to give you two goals for that. Two goals.
Wow. Good work.
Jacob Hawley.
Yes.
It says here, rush keepers.
Rush keepers.
And share gloves.
Share gloves, yeah. We've all played football in the park, and you know, when it sort of gets to sort of extra time and stuff and you're trying to find out who's going to win, rush keepers is a thing that happens. Anyone is allowed to go in goal. And for me, one of the most exciting things about Premier League football is when injuries occur to the point where an outfield player has to go in goal. Like, I love that. For me, that's the most fun.
John O'Shea
did it. Harry Kane did it as well, I think. But I think that improves the game. And also, what is a lot of fun is when keepers go up for corners.
Oh, lovely.
David James used to go up for England quite a lot. So I think for City as well. I think Stuart Pearce used to send David James up for City.
No, Stuart Pearce put him up front.
Put him up front.
Yeah, put him up front. Pearce tells a good story. Right? Yeah, he said he put him up front to be a nuisance. Like, you know, goalkeeper, be a nuisance. You're huge. Just smash the centre halves around. You went. He got a bit carried away with himself. He started playing as a deep line 10 roll.
Give me the ball.
He's like, no. You're battering around.
He's trying to open up the passing lane. He's trying to thread people.
Anyway, Jacob, carry on.
I love seeing the keepers go up. I love seeing the outfield players have to go and goal. So I want a bit of fluidity, players being able to go wherever they want. But the catch is you can only go in the net if you're wearing the gloves.
Lovely.
So if you're in your own box, doesn't matter whether you're a defender, striker, midfielder, whatever, you can touch the ball so long as you're wearing the gloves. So that brings a little bit of frenzy into it. If suddenly, you know, everyone goes up, tries to score from a corner, you're racing back.
Who's got the gloves?
Who's got the gloves? The keeper's passing it to Theo Walcott so he can leg it back there and try and make the save.
Great idea, Jacob. That means you get three goals. That's how it works. Perry, you want to sex up the warm-up?
Yeah. The thing that's baffled me with warm-ups, football warm-ups, is the players, even in the modern day, they just run up and down the touchline, don't they? They do a few stretches, don't they? A few headers, have a clap or wave to the crowd. I've never got that. They go, crowd clap, don't they? Well, I'm going to nick something from baseball. I took my two boys to watch Anaheim Angels play Texas Rangers in baseball in the States. And I was just watching the game. And baseball's really weird anyway, because the seventh inning stretch, it could be really tight. I don't know if you've watched a baseball game. It's really, all bases are cut, whatever. And all of a sudden, people just go, let's go down to the ball game. You go, what's going on there? Everybody's singing. It's like so tense.
And there's a wee old lady playing a sort of strange organ.
But then I was watching, and it's great if you have an American next to you to explain how baseball's working, because we think it's like rounders for men, it's not. It's brilliant. And then all of a sudden, about halfway through the third innings, there's a bit of a stirring in the crowd and a bit of tension. And then the relief pitcher and the catcher just walked round the pitch and went over to another sort of bit of waste ground at the side of the pitch. Yeah. And what was happening is then the relief pitcher starts throwing the ball to the catcher, right?
Nice.
Over on the far side, and they put it on the big screen. What they're saying is the pitcher is having an absolute stinker. So they go, you go and warm up, son. So he has to go and warm up. So he puts even more pressure on the pitcher who's having a nightmare. And everybody can see it on the big screen. So my idea is, in these new modern stadiums now, you have a little bit of ground to the side of the pitch with a goal. And if there's a centre forward who's having a nightmare, missed a few chances, you say to your other centre forward on the bench, go and get yourself warmed up.
Yeah, slot
so they walk round and they start doing a bit of crossing and finishing. And the crowd can see he's on fire, the big fella.
I love it.
And the kicker is, you have a fan warm-upper. So when you get into the stadium, you pay a tenner, you're drawn out of a hat, right, and you go and warm the player up. You're involved
you're the
in the
person. Beautiful. It's a beautiful idea, Perry. Three goals for you.
Yes.
Wendy Wason. FIFA revolution.
This is a bit of a revolution because we have a World Cup every 4 years and there's no sport on at the minute. I've resorted to watching my kids play FIFA and I sit and watch that. And I was thinking if we can cope without a World Cup every 4 years, maybe we can do a football hiatus once a year. So 1 year on, 1 year off. And all the money that would go to footballers and to TV companies and all that kind of stuff, you fire it into the NHS and we watch kids playing FIFA in hospital. It's very worthy. It's going to annoy people, but that's
worthy.
The point of this round.
Very worthy, Wendy.
And you could play as Torquay on FIFA.
Yeah.
You can't. Actually, there we are. Points off.
No, this is how we change it.
Into the wound, because actually at the moment you can't play as Torquay on FIFA because they don't let National League teams in. So there we are. One goal for you there, Wendy, which means the scores at the end of that round are 8-8.
There's only one word to describe that. Absolutely brilliant.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I began my professional career as a black cab driver.
You're listening to Glory Hunters, the podcast from Talk Sport. Time now for Back in the Day, where we travel back to a landmark moment in both teams' history. Perry and Andrew, we're going to go back to 1988 and this.
Sanson only got a half touch to it under a lot of pressure here.
Yes, Ray Houghton's goal was enough for the Republic of Ireland to defeat England 1-0 in the European Championships. But what else do you remember of 1988? Andrew, how old were you in 1988?
I was six.
6 years old. Let's see what you remember. Perry, I won't ask you. Question one. England lost all of their remaining group matches, while Ireland were unlucky to miss out on a place in the semi-finals. But can you recall who won the tournament outright? Was it A? France or B?
When it's spring again, I'll bring again tulips from Amsterdam.
That's Holland or perhaps...
Du hast mich.
West Germany. So who won the tournament, France, Holland or West Germany?
Holland.
I'm pretty sure it's Holland. Tony Adams tried to mark Marco van Basten in that tournament, and we actually unscrew him out of the ground when he come back for pre-season training. Honestly, like,
just
and
in and out.
He said he'd never, in England, the old days, centre-forwards played up against centre-halves. That's what you did, the two centre-halves, two centre-forwards. And I said, Rodgers, why don't you sort van Basten out? He went, I had no idea where he was going. In 96, he said he was on the left wing, he was on the right wing, he was drifting, he was dropping deep. He's like, I couldn't get near him. He's like Casper the Ghost. He said, I couldn't get near him.
Okay, let's find out.
When it's spring again, I'll bring again tulips from Amsterdam.
It was Holland. Question two. Holland beat the Soviet Union 2-0 in the final, but can you tell me who was the tournament's highest goal scorer? Was it A?
Van Basten. What a goal! What a goal!
Marco van Basten for Holland, or B?
Matthäus' shot. That's fantastic.
Lothar Matthäus for West Germany, or perhaps...
Four in the area. Lineker!
Gary Lineker. Who do we think it was? Van Basten, Lothar Matthäus, or Gary Lineker?
Marco van Basten, we're going for.
All day long, you think? Yeah, all day long. Okay, well, let's find out.
Van Basten.
Yes, it was Marco van Basten. He finished the tournament with 5 goals. Question 3. Who became the most expensive player in British football that year? Was it A?
Is Gascoigne going to have a crack? He is, you know. Oh, I say! Brilliant!
Great commentary there. Paul Gascoigne, Newcastle to Spurs. Or was it B?
And here's Rush, onside. Ian Rush, goal!
Ian Rush, Juventus to Liverpool. Or was it C?
That's the ball for Cotty. Inch perfect. A brilliant goal.
Tony Cotty, West Ham v Everton.
Oh, do you know what? I think Tony Cotty might be it. Because I've seen Tony Cotty do an after-dinner speech and keep telling everybody that at one stage he was the biggest British transfer. That's the only reason it stayed in my head. Might be wrong.
Gascoigne was very, very young. And I don't think he was totally proven yet. So I don't think the fee would have been that high. Ian Rush from Juventus back to Liverpool, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So that was the second time at Liverpool, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't think... I'm going to go Cotty. Yeah. You're right, yeah. It's Cotty.
Thanks for that. Cheers, Han. What, the one that I said in the first place?
Yes, you are correct.
Thank you very much. We're going for TC.
Go for Tony Cotty, ex-Barnet manager. Here we go. Let's find out.
And here's Rush onside. Ian Rush.
Ian Rush rejoined Liverpool that year in a move worth £2.8 million. Tony Cotty was signed by Everton for £2.3 million and Gazza cost Spurs £2 million. So at the end of that round, you scored 2 goals, which takes you to 10, makes the scores currently Republic of Ireland 10, Scotland 8. Jacob and Wendy, we're going to go back to another fixture against England in 1977 with this.
The scene is so typically Scottish. This biannual pilgrimage hasn't been a happy one over the last few years, but there's certainly going to be some celebrations tonight. And the Wembley pitch, perhaps one shouldn't say anything other than critical about this, because crowd invasions have been one of the reasons why fences have gone up everywhere, and indeed are going up at Wembley. And you're really divided between appreciating the delight of the Scottish fans, but not wanting to see the ground pulled apart like this. They've even knocked the goals down and broken the crossbar.
Scotland claimed a famous victory at Wembley, beating England 2-1 before the fans poured onto the pitch to celebrate. But what else do you remember of that year, 1977? Question one, which of these Scottish celebrities were present at the match and joined the pitch invasion at full time? Was it A?
Wake up, Maggie, I think I got something to say.
That's Rod Stewart, or B?
You go for a shampoo now. There's 4 lanes of it in the chemist. Row upon row for all different kinds of hair. Jojoba. Jojoba. In Glasgow, that was the month before November. Now,
Billy Connolly, the best, or C? Or was it Jeanette Cranky? So which do you think it was? Rod Stewart, Billy Connolly, or Jeanette Cranky?
I think it was Rod Stewart.
I think it's Rod Stewart. I know he's a big
football fan. Scottish fan.
I'm not sure Billy Connolly's a football fan, to be honest. And I don't know who the Crankies are.
Crackerjack legends.
Van Dabby Doozy.
You know what I mean?
Right, just a fun fact there, Jacob. Billy Connolly is a football fan and he's a Celtic supporter.
Oh, is he really?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's Rod Stewart.
You think it was Rod Stewart?
Rod Stewart.
Let's find out.
Wake up, Maggie, I think I got something to say to you.
Rod Stewart ran onto the pitch at full time, as did Gordon Strachan and his wife, who were celebrating their honeymoon in London.
I love Gordon Strachan so
much. You're romantic.
He's my favourite.
Come on, Treacle.
Where are we going?
Get your scarf in your hand. Come on.
What a coincidence. There's a Scotland in here. Yeah. John Joring,
what is
honeymoon.
What's going on?
I wonder what's going on over there.
I thought we were going to Torquay for our honeymoon. No, we're going to Wembley.
Question two. That evening, as Scotland fans congregated in Trafalgar Square, what was the number one single at the time that they would have been getting down to? Was it A? So you win again. You win again. Here I stand again. Hot Chocolate or B? Knowing me, knowing you. Uh-huh. That was ABBA. Or perhaps... Donna Summer. Hot Chocolate, ABBA or Donna Summer?
I think it's ABBA or Donna Summer, but I don't know which one.
Do you think?
I don't think it's Hot Chocolate.
Did you say, Charlie, this is what they were getting down to whilst trashing a fountain?
They were in the fountain, so like, yeah, this is like...
It's a Scottish thing, you get in fountains, what can I say? It's in my DNA.
They're in Trafalgar Square, on the Lions, climbing Nelson's Column, the lot.
I can't imagine doing that to Hot Chocolate.
I don't think they actually did it to that music. I think it was just number one.
One, number one at a time.
I'll take it
to
you.
Like on a big set of speakers down there.
Yeah.
Set up by the police, some sound system turned up.
Ghetto blasters.
I think maybe ABBA.
ABBA? I'm going to have to go ABBA.
ABBA, let's go for ABBA.
I'm letting Wendy go for it.
Let's find out. Was Hot Chocolate with their only ever number one, You Win Again. Question three. It was the year that one film dominated the box office.
I've been waiting for you, Obi-Wan. We meet again at last. The circle is now complete. When I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master.
Only a master of evil, Darth.
It was, of course, Star Wars. But can you tell me what was the second highest grossing movie at the UK box office that year? Was it A? That was Rocky. Or B? The Sweeney movie, or perhaps...
007. Triple X.
Bond, what do you think you're doing?
Keeping the British hand up, sir.
The Spy Who Loved Me. Rocky, the Sweeney movie, or The Spy Who Loved Me?
Keeping the British hand up, sir.
What do you reckon, Rocky?
Rocky or...
It's the UK box office. Oh.
It's the UK box office, right, so it's got to be James Bond.
Yeah. Second highest grossing movie at the UK box office that year, Jacob Hawley.
James Bond.
It's gone for James Bond, let's find out.
007. Triple X.
Bond, what do you think you're doing?
Keeping the British hand up, sir.
There we are, it was James Bond. So at the end of that round, you scored 2 goals, which makes it 10 all.
The World Cup is a truly international event.
Here on Glory Hunters, we like to ask the big questions, and that's why we do this. Our esteemed panel are about to be subjected to the scrutiny of the general public as we play A Question of Sport Time. Now, obviously, given the current restrictions, we've kept the public at bay. So for the purposes of this round, we're relying on technology. So can we have our first question, please?
Hello, panel. If we were to have a sporting cull, which two sports would you get rid of?
There we are. If we were to have a sporting cull, which two sports would you get rid of? Wendy Wason.
Two sports I would get rid of are darts. I don't like darts, and snooker. I don't like watching them. I like playing snooker and I like playing darts. I went to Ali Pali, I thought, because I like to sort of join in and see, because I kind of think it might be like the opera, because people who like darts really like darts. Mm. And I don't like the opera, but I've not been to the opera. So I kind of think you have to sort of get involved and join in. I went to the darts and I just felt like everyone was steaming, and I don't think it's a sport. These darts players get up and they don't look like they've done any training at all apart from drinking beer. Mm. Doesn't look like a sport to me.
It's a shame.
I just want to be careful because a big part of what we've sort of promoted as part of being Scottish has been the drinking. So
I'm not an elite sports person.
Snooker,
I find it really, really boring. You have to be quiet. I'm not great at being quiet. I just find it really sort of sleep-inducing. So if I want to go to sleep, I'll put the snooker on and fall asleep.
Yeah.
But I don't find it exciting. I don't find it thrilling. I like the tennis. I like Formula One. I like football. I like rugby.
You like Formula One.
Really? I don't find darts and snooker. Is that dissent for Formula One?
Formula One. Can I just say I actually agree with Wendy. I think darts and snooker.
They don't like sport, darts
and snooker to me, they're not sport. They're not sport. They're games.
Anything you can play in the pub.
Yeah, exactly. Anything that you can play in
comfy
a pub
shoes
whilst drinking isn't really a sport, is it?
Oh, well, I disagree.
It's like chess.
Well, if there was no skill in it, I genuinely think to score a 147 in snooker is the hardest thing to do in all sport. Because it takes so much skill.
Who cares?
It takes so much skill to get a 147 in snooker.
Who's the most flamboyant, exciting snooker player?
Jimmy White. We all love Jimmy White.
Ronnie O'Sullivan.
Alex Higgins.
You know, think about Bill Werbenick. He could drink
20 pints.
20 pints.
Do you enjoy watching snooker, though?
Do you watch it and get really tense?
I used to. I don't watch it so much now. And darts is just brilliant.
It was so random. I felt like I was on the biggest stag do ever that I just didn't get.
There we are. I disagree with you completely. I'm going to give you one point.
Oh, you can't give a point for sympathy.
One goal for turning up. Andrew Ryan.
The two sports that I would get rid of are cricket and women's cricket.
Oh.
Cricket was voted recently one of the most boring sports in the UK. I have tried. I have watched matches. I've Googled the rules. I'm 38 years of age. I have given time to this and I can't get it. No. I have never seen a sport where so many people are out on a field or a pitch, whatever, that are so redundant and not doing anything for so long. I just find it the most boringest sport. There's only about 8 teams in the world anyway that are any good. And I think cricket, for me, it's a crime against sport. It shouldn't even be there.
Okay.
Get rid of it and get rid of women's cricket, kids' cricket.
Oh, quick cricket. You can't
get rid of the whole thing and let's use the stadiums for something else.
I think cricket's quite exciting.
Cricket's amazing.
There's one guy, there's one batter there on his own, surrounded by the other team, all playing mind games. It's a solo sport in a team game.
It's amazing.
No.
Jacob, do you like cricket?
What's the party line?
Whatever they're not saying.
All right, love it.
Renegotiate the deal and bring it back to the party.
Then the rules of a panel show.
I had a great time playing cricket in Torquay once.
That must have been a big deal. You've got to love a sport where you can go in for hour and a half, Ben Stokes, smash a quick 50-60 and you just think, done my job.
Lovely. I know. Solo sport in a team environment.
Exactly.
Owen Morgan won the World Cup last year for England.
And you can drink while you watch it. Yeah. You're allowed to drink while you watch it. And also they break for tea.
They have a cup of tea.
You were complaining about drinking when you were watching the dance 2 seconds ago.
I played cricket Sunday, Wednesday for 3 years and I put on 4 stone.
Biscuits.
There you go. It's not even a sport.
It's a great, great sport. It's the best sport. And I feel sorry for you for not enjoying it. And that is why you only get one goal, because I feel sorry for you.
Thank you.
That's why you get the goal. Perry Groves.
I'm going to go for any sport.
Any sport.
Right. That shuts down this radio station. That is determined by judges.
Because it's
not a sport.
This is more like
that
it.
That is a performance.
It's an opinion.
That is someone's
opinion, isn't it,
You
Perry?
Could have a bad mood. The judge could be in a bad mood.
Agreed.
So if we're saying that motor racing and fencing are a shay, right? Because they're for posh people who, if you had an outdoor toilet or a coal bunk in your back garden, you had no chance of ever like playing those sort of things, right? So it's like any sport that's got judges. So we say ice skating, gymnastics, synchronized swimming, diving, dressage even. Any one of those 5 or 6 that I've mentioned, I think you can just say you're not missing whatsoever. Mm. And it's like, and you're not telling me that you've got judges and they're not going to be influenced by the nationality of the person that they're watching. So I'm going to go for ice skating and gymnastics, because I think diving, there's a danger.
I do like gymnastics is the thing.
But it's all judges. It's all judges. Synchronised swimming is funny, so we'll leave that one in. Dressage, I love the horse like dancing, which is great. I'm going for ice skating and gymnastics.
I think it's a great, great answer. Three goals, Perry Groves. Jacob Hawley, coming to you. Finally.
Right, in these frightening times, now I've been getting into my conspiracy theories now that I've got time on my hands. And I watched the virtual...
You're a comic, you've got loads of time on your hands. What are you talking about? nothing.
I'm not gigging either now, so it's only got worse.
You're getting an extra 3 hours in your day.
That's 20 minutes a night is
that's
killing.
20 minutes a night that I would do four times a week. I've been getting into my conspiracy theories. I watched the old virtual horse racing other day, and it was quite enjoyable. But I also watched The Matrix just afterwards. And I'm starting to worry a little bit about the machines taking over. Now, the virtual horse racing, if that was to happen, that could all be done by machines. So basically, I want to get rid of any sports where you could take away any human participation. It'd be done by machines. And I think the two sports that are most sort of vulnerable to that are F1 and the motorcycle racing. Oh, yeah. Now, my other problem with these sports, as Perry mentioned earlier, I don't like any sport like that you can't really... That's sort of not really open access. You know, Perry probably started playing football outside in your garden when you were young, or playing the street with jumpers. You can't really do that with motorcycle racing or F1. But I think motorcycle racing or F1, if you look at a vision of the future where the machines have taken over, they would be the two sports. Also, what I find weird about F1 is when people support car companies. Like, I've got a mate who likes F1. He's like, yeah, I'm a McLaren fan. What? I'm a bit of a Citroën fan myself. You know, it's weird. You know, at least with a football team, you've got sort of like family reasons why you might support a team. Yeah. I support Arsenal because my family grew up around there, blah, blah, blah. But I support Porsche. It's weird. It's for weird people.
You can see it in the future. They will just get rid of the drivers altogether and just have a model of a driver, and then at the end,
model of a driver,
have someone pretending to get out. Oh, exactly. There we are.
Exactly. A robot who sits in a mechanical car that goes around the track a few times. Also, what Guendouzi did, where he took the mick out of Mike Dean pretending to place the football down a machine could never do that.
That's true.
I love how you're talking about how you're worried about technology taking over, yet you brought a laptop in today with the answers as well.
Who's to say whether it was me or the laptop who gave that answer?
who knows who we booked? Did we book Jacob or did we book the laptop?
It's a great laptop. Got, you know?
Have you seen that documentary Inside Formula One? It's really interesting about all the sort of car developments and all the drivers and...
But it's not interesting enough to speak Formula One.
What do you do for a living? I drive around in a circle.
Yeah.
If you go to my village on a Saturday night, you see a lot of Formula One after midnight.
Jacob Hawley, very, very good. I'm going to give you 3 points, three goals
well
for you
done,
there,
Jacob.
In the dying moments of the game, we move now into injury time, where each side has 60 seconds to score as many goals as possible. Losing side goes first, which is currently Scotland, on 19 goals. I am going to list a series of names. Yeah. I need you to tell me which of them are footballers and which are characters from Star Wars. Simply say either player or Star Wars to identify who you think is who. When your time is up, you'll hear this sound. Your time starts now. Quinton Fortune.
Player.
He is a player. Boba Fett.
Star Wars.
Star Wars. Poe Dameron.
Star Wars.
He is Star Wars. Ken Moncow.
Player.
He is a player. Wedge Antilles.
Star Wars.
He is Star Wars. Lars Bender.
Player.
He's a player. Wolfgang Wolf.
Player.
He is a player. Max Rebo.
Star Wars.
He is Star Wars. Kiki Masampa.
Player.
He is a player. Ali Deer.
Player.
He is a player. Salacious Crumb.
Star Wars.
He is Star Wars. Matt Holland.
Player.
He is a player. Lando Calrissian.
Player.
He's Star Wars. Yuri Zirkov.
Player.
He is a player. Stig Johansson.
Player.
He is a player. Lors San Tekka.
Star Wars.
He is Star Wars. Rick Ollie.
Player.
Star Wars. Stern John.
Player.
He is a player. Bo Sheck.
Star Wars.
He is Star Wars. Landon Donovan.
Player.
He is a player. Mon Mothma.
Star Wars.
He is Star Wars. Smashed it. Okay, at the end of that round, you scored 19. A massive 19 goals to take you to 38. Republic of Ireland, you are currently on 20, so you need 18 to draw, 19 to win.
Again, the options are the same, footballer or Star Wars character. When your time is up, you'll hear this sound.
Rami Pickering!
You're going to say player or Star Wars. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yep.
Your time starts now. Mace Windu.
Star Wars.
Yep. Muzzy, is it?
Player.
Yep. Denver Barr.
Player.
Yep. Briggs Darklighter.
Star Wars.
Yep. Jay Demerit.
Player.
He is a player. Ponda Baba.
Star Wars.
Yep. Emmanuel Frimpong.
Player.
Yep. Bib Fortuna.
Star Wars.
He is Star Wars. Papa Sisse.
Player.
He is a player. Moff Tarkin.
Star Wars.
Yes. Phil Babb.
Player.
Yes. Sly Moore.
Star Wars.
Yes. Sebastian Bassong.
Player.
Yep. Kit Fisto.
Star Wars.
Yep. Qui-Gon Jinn.
Player. Star Wars.
He is Star Wars. Papa Booba Diop.
Player.
He is a player. Kylo Ren.
Star Wars.
He is Star Wars. Sheev Palpatine.
Star Wars.
He is Star Wars. Kenwyn Jones.
Player.
He is a player. Owen Lars.
Star Wars.
He is Star Wars. Hermie Oddle. Hermie Oddle.
Star Wars.
He is Star Wars.
Yes. Yes.
So at the end of that round, he scored a massive 20 goals.
That must be a record.
No, Bob Mills got 20 odd with Gladiators.
Oh, Gladiators. Yeah. What, Gladiator or Leighton?
You'll never beat that, yeah. So, which means the final scores are Scotland 38, Republic of Ireland 40. There we are. Scotland, you've lost. Did you at least have a nice day out?
I had a lovely day, Charlie. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you very
much. You've looked after us very well.
Going to go and find a fountain now, Wendy?
Absolutely.
You allowing in fountains on lockdown? I don't know. Is that...
We'll see what happens. We're not going to work. That's all that matters.
Okay. And Republic of Ireland, Perry. Perhaps you should have played for him.
It was emotional. It was emotional. When I realised that it was a dictatorship and not a democracy, then we were all right.
We'll be singing Danny Boy all the way home. So to our winners, we say... And for the losers...
It was absolutely start to finish an absolute load of rubbish.
My thanks to Jacob, Wendy, Perry and Andrew. Until next time, from myself and everyone here, is goodbye. There we are. Pulled it out of the bag at the end there, gents.
Well done.
I think we did have a bit of self-doubt, didn't we? Then we realised that we had the same category and then we thought, oh, we got a bit of a chance.
Yeah, once it was the same category, I mean...
We moaned about...
If we'd have got their ones, we'd have got about 28, 29.
Oh, dear.
What I think we should have, rather than actually doing this on points, we should actually have a judge who tells us who won this game.
Well, there we are. Maybe we'll bring that in next week on Glory Hunters. Thank you very much for downloading the Glory Hunters podcast. Do rate and subscribe and tell all your friends. We'll see you next week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.